Welcome to the audio edition of In Touch Online for October 2020, with an introduction from the Provincial Grand Master. As we enter October, I am reminded that Saturday the 10th of October is Mental Health Day, hence our use of the strapline, Freemason Support Mental Health Day. During the past 6 months, a number of studies have concluded that lockdown, self-isolation and shielding have contributed a significant increase in mental health. In a statement from Lambeth Palace, the Archbishop of Canterbury warned that the UK had developed national PTSD and uncertainty fatigue, while our very own provincial chaplain Michael Barrett has used his Thought for the Day homilies to remind us of the need to recognise and be aware of brethren who may be suffering mental turmoil. The signs are well known: experiencing low mood, symptoms of depression, anxiety and stress. Sadly for many people, the stigma attached to admitting they may be suffering mental ill health means they are unlikely to seek help, while some will not know where to turn for much needed support. The Masonic Charitable Foundation have contracted a third-party provider to offer mental health support to Freemasons and their family members who are experiencing conditions affecting their mental well-being. The service is run by an independent team of professional counsellors and therapists who are registered and accredited by the UK Council for Psychotherapy. After an initial telephone assessment, counselling sessions may be available either over the phone or face-to-face. If counselling sessions are deemed inappropriate following the telephone assessment, the service provider may be able to consider alternative support as advised by the assessor, such as cognitive behavioural therapy. Mental health support is available for Freemasons and their eligible family members who are over the age of 17. Support for children below 17 can be considered after discussion with the inquiry's team. A financial assessment is not required to access standard counselling service. However, a full financial assessment is required to access other specialist mental health support. I recall a very relevant question, which I trust will help someone to take the all-important first step to recognise that it's okay to be not okay. You don't have to be positive all the time. It's perfectly okay to feel sad, angry, annoyed, frustrated, scared and anxious. Having feelings doesn't make you a negative person. It makes you human. If you or a family member feels they need mental health support, contact the inquiries team, who will provide the details required to access the service. Call 0800 035 60 90 or email help@mcf.org.uk. In the September edition of In Touch Online, I referred to the special meeting of Provincial Grand Lodge to be held at Chippenham on Friday the 16th of October. Little did I know, the Prime Minister would take an active interest in those plans and introduce new guidance which has scuppered Plan B and resulted in the implementation of Plan C. I am pleased to advise that the Provincial Grand Secretary, Phil Still, organised a Zoom meeting at which the Provincial Executive was able to meet with the newly appointed active officers of Provincial Grand Lodge, allowing me to welcome them to their new roles. I have also taken the opportunity to thank the officers of 2019-20 for their work in supporting the province, something for which I am very grateful. The Master and Brethren of Vaston Lodge welcomed Dr. David West as their guest speaker to the ever-popular Vaston Lodge discussion group. The group, which meets via Zoom every Tuesday at 7 p.m, has been at the forefront in welcoming guest speakers to their events. Their next guest last visited Wiltshire in 2012 as the guest of Methuen Lodge when he was the incumbent Prestonian lecturer and presented Scouting and Freemasonry, two parallel organisations. Tony Harvey makes a welcome return to the province to tell us the seven habits of a successful lodge. Join Vaston Lodge on Tuesday the 29th of October, 7 p.m, for what promises to be an interesting evening, and you can be assured that you will have the best seat in the house. For details, email pcowiltshire@gmail.com. And now from the Deputy Provincial Grand Master. In last month's In Touch Online, I wrote about the incredible work undertaken by many of our lodges during the COVID-19 crisis. On Tuesday, the 6th of October, Assistant Provincial Grand Master Simon Leafield will join Provincial Grand Master Philip Bullock and myself when we visit Corsham Masonic Hall, where we will present Corsham Lodge with the magnificent Peter Winton Trophy, awarded to the lodge which, in the opinion of the committee, made a significant contribution to promoting Wiltshire Freemasonry in the local community. In addition, the lodge will receive a framed certificate together with a copy for their archives. I offer my congratulations to those lodges that have been able to meet either at their normal meeting location or, as in the case of Vaston Lodge, a new venue, which was created especially for them. Thanks to Mark Newman's excellent video, I was able to see the work which had been undertaken to enable the meeting to take place. As we enter upon a new round of enforced restrictions which materially affect the way in which Freemasons can meet, it came as no surprise when an email arrived in the editor's inbox asking whether or not UGLE suspended Masonic activity as a result of the Spanish flu. I'm sure everyone will know the disease lasted from February 1918 to April 1920, and it infected 500 million people, about a third of the world's population at the time, in four successive waves. To get an authoritative answer, we asked Susan Snell, the archivist and records manager at Freemasons Hall, who advised that there is no record of UGLE suspending Masonic activities during the period of the Spanish flu pandemic. However, a researcher, a Freemason, who had made a study of the period around the time of the Spanish flu, kindly offered a response which you may find interesting. He wrote, "I found nothing in the minutes of Grand Lodge or the periodicals for Freemasons even mentioning Spanish flu. I did stop around April 1922, so there may be some later reference, but I was surprised at how little I found. Indeed, one of the few explicit references was from the Prisoner of War Minute Book, a minute book of Lodge of Instruction working in camp in Cappadocia, where one of the prisoners, a Freemason, contracted Spanish flu. I found plenty of references to the Great War, and found the meeting where they discussed purchasing the freehold for Great Queen Street, but no mention of the epidemic. I presume that, considering the Great War was still on, and as such there was a news blackout, perhaps the general populace was largely unaware at the beginning that there was a pandemic taking place. Paul Calderwood, in his research on Freemasonry and the press, notes that the press were discouraged from mentioning Spanish flu by the government. Spain, being neutral, still had an active press, which was the first to report on it in Europe, hence the name Spanish flu, although the Spanish called it French flu, thinking it originated there. Whatever the reason, Freemasonry in the UK did not dwell on the topic, apart from infrequent mention of people passing and a notification of a funeral. I've had a look through my Mother Lodge's minute book, and that is the same. No specific mention of it at all. I guess the English considered themselves far too stoic to complain about the ravages of a global pandemic. Susan observed, the Spanish flu was very much a pandemic that affected people in their 20s and 30s a century ago. Even post-World War I, the demographic of Lodge members may have been an older age group. This COVID pandemic, in contrast, is affecting an older demographic. We also have to bear in mind the prevailing circumstances of the day, starting with the fact that in 1918, the world was still engaged in World War I. The movement of troops placed very large numbers of people in close contact, especially aboard troop ships, and living spaces were not only overcrowded, but also not to the highest standards with respect to sanitation. Health services were limited, and many civilian physicians were deployed on military service. There was no National Health Service, that came about in 1948, and medical technology was very limited or non-existent. There were no diagnostic tests that could test for influenza infection. In fact, doctors didn't know influenza viruses existed, and influenza vaccines and flu antiviral drugs did not exist at the time. Even antibiotics had not been developed. For example, penicillin was not discovered until 1928. Intensive care support and mechanical ventilation, which we take for granted today, also were not available in 1918. Without these medical countermeasures and treatment capabilities, doctors were left with few treatment options other than supportive care. Returning to Masonic activity, it's definitely different, even a little strange, but once we got going, everything fell into place, and we're glad we took the plunge and held our meeting. Just one of the many positive quotes from a lodge which has been able to meet under the Rule of Six, and there have been plenty of comments just like this one. Of course, no one expected everyone to be comfortable about attending a lodge meeting. After all, the advice asking the population to self-isolate, shield, and generally to physically distance created apprehension and a belief that something bad would happen if we did. As a result of these legitimate concerns, Masonic Hall committees have been assiduous in making sure that COVID-19 security measures apply and that every safeguard is provided in order to protect everyone who wishes to attend a lodge or chapter meeting. In addition, Lodges have readily applied themselves to conducting meetings which have included a number of second-degree passing ceremonies, all within the bounds of propriety and in full accordance with the government's rule of six. Different and strange for the lodge, but for the brother making progress in his Masonic journey, the occasion will be one he will remember forever. Finally, now for some congratulations. The Provincial Grand Master is pleased to announce that Provincial Grand Chaplain Michael Barrett of Sarum Lodge has been appointed by the Most Worshipful Grand Master to serve as a member of the United Grand Lodge of England's Panel for Clemency. The Provincial Grand Master is also pleased to announce the appointment of Clive Emerson of Downton Lodge to be a trustee for the Provincial Benevolent Fund. Dr. David Reed has been appointed Divisional Officer North in succession to Ian Dunbar, who is standing down for personal reasons. And Barry Jordan Davis has been appointed Divisional Officer South in succession to Andrew Tiffin, who retires after 5 years in post. Thank you for listening.